Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, hey, ladies and gentlemen, it's your main man, Rob Boy, checking in. And we got a great, great show today. We got our main man, Leon Benson, in the building. Let's give you a quick review. Leon started working with the Streets on Love Your Back organization in 2011. When me and my wife used to send the newsletter into several prisons around the country, Leon grasped it to what we was doing. He started putting it in the Indiana prison, started sending a lot of educational material in there. And in 2015, when my wife created the Streets from Love You Back Lifestyle Intervention Program, Leon did the same thing that he always do. Introduced it to the inmates, and he started teaching the program. So without further ado, we're going to bring our main man, Leon, on the line. Hey, hey, you there, Leon?
Hey, hello?
All right, you there, Leon?
Hey, I'm here, man.
Hey, hey, what's up, my brother? How you feeling?
Hey, man, I'm feeling all right, man. Hey, I really appreciate you and Lucinda and all the listeners out there for having me on your show. It's a real blessing, man.
Glad to have you, Leon, my man. So we're going to get right to it, Leon. How you been feeling in there, man? And tell the world about, you know, how you got involved with our program in 2011 up to today.
Well, first and foremost, the Streets Don't Love You Back Foundation, organization, movement is an authentic thing. You know, back in 2011, I met Rob and Lucinda, and I like what they was doing. Rob is from Detroit. You know, I'm from Flint, Michigan. We own that Michigan thing, you know. And he showed me all the things he was doing with helping the youth, helping the community. He showed me his past, that he was a former drug dealer who reversed his life around. He had a very inspiring story, and it really inspired me. So he introduced me to some of the things he was doing with the at-risk youth and with his life skills course. So he presented it to me. I got the course. I done it. And I was like, Rob, it's an epidemic going on inside this prison. And the epidemic that was going on, it was a heroin epidemic where it was a lot of overdoses. And I was sitting in here, and I was seeing all this death and this mayhem. I mean, people were dying every other day. It was a real thing. I had to resuscitate two or three people. So I'm sitting, and I'm thinking, what can I do? And Rob, you know, you came to me, you told me those who are closest to the problems are the ones who are closest to the solutions. And when I got the life skills course and I looked and I was like, man, I need to get this course to the people in here because people in prison need it just as much as people in society, probably even more. When we think about the opiate epidemic that's plaguing America right now, you got to think the big pharmaceuticals, what they done with putting this drug in the households of many Americans, but it affected the prison too because the prison is a microcosm of what's going on in society. So we've seen this thing. So our first attempt, the prison didn't let us do it. I don't know what was going on. I was like, man, we sent everything. We done everything we were supposed to do, but they wouldn't let them get through. And it was very disappointing. So, you know, I continued, you know, my walk, growing and developing as a human being, seeing the things I needed to do to be a part of the solution without compromise and be for the people, be the voice for the people. So opportunities came. I'm a Hebrew Israelite. For those of you out there that don't know what a Hebrew Israelite is, a Hebrew Israelite are the real people in the book, the Bible, and I represent that. And I got a community down here. we've been doing outreach. You know, one of the things about being a Hebrew Israelite is being a solution for your community. It's commune. That's what Yahweh wanted us to do. That's what our brother Yahshua, or what people know as Jesus, done. He went out and he ministered with the people. He ministered with the drug dealers, with the killers, with all these people, the has-nots. So I was here in this particular situation, and I seen an opportunity through my community. So we put on a study course for all faiths and all peoples in the facility. And this occurred in 2017. It took us a while to get it, but we finally got it. This was the biggest turnout study class in the history of Pendleton. Everybody was there. The administration was like, it's something phenomenal going on in this class, because you got people from Moore Science Temple of America. You had Sunni Muslims. You had Christians. You had our Jew brothers. You had people from Wicca, Native Americans. You had people that was just straight thugs, you know, and everybody was there and they was learning. And this was the perfect opportunity to introduce them to the Streets Don't Love You Back Life Skills and Intervention course. So I immediately got it, got with Rob, and we got the courses to people, and it was very inspiring, you know, the feedback that we got. And I'm gonna be truthful, and I'm not saying this to put on for my big bro or put on for the listeners out there, because if anybody know me, they know that I'm authentic and I'm real. That's what I'm about. We only got one life to live. Ain't no time to be faking in front, but we got to be real and embrace real things and embrace real people. Because guess what? I don't need no flowers at my funeral. I need them right now. You need flowers out there too. So that's what I'm on. We're giving real flowers. And what I'm saying with that is this course really impacted a lot of brothers in my community and throughout the facility. It was instantly, when this course came into this facility, the overdose rate, it declined, because we became the solution. The brothers that took this course all the way from the top to the bottom, it made a change throughout this facility. Brothers was coming up to us after taking the course, still, you know, asking questions, seeking mentorship, asking more questions about the Streets Don't Love You Back. At first, it was I'm going to be real. We used the fact that a certificate was involved with it. But everybody out there who's lived long enough, that got the wisdom, understand that it's never the destination. It's all about the journey. And when we sat down to teach the class, our study class is set up with reciprocal teaching, meaning that we allow everybody to have input, to have questions, to read along with us. We ain't there, you know, just throwing information down your throat, being intellectual dictators. We were doing nothing like that. The class was ran by a fellow Israelite of mine named David Newsom, Obadiah Israel, and myself. We started the course with, in chapter one is substance abuse, dependency, and making decisions. We started out with that, and Rob and Lucinda, y'all really did a good job with highlighting the causes of where these drugs are coming from. And one of the things in that chapter that really hit home was why do people, some people end up abusing drugs and why others do not. And you spoke about all the subliminal messages that's coming from advertisement to young people, and especially to developing countries, you know. And when we think about that, we think about the Oxycontin. That's one thing that came up in the discussions in the study, the Oxycontins, that pharmaceutical company that really got all of America sprung out. And we talked about them, America, the FDA, they banned them. They banned them out of America. But guess who they are prying on? They are being parasitical to developing countries, to third world countries. And I thought that was ironic, because here recently we was going over a course with a brother over the because we started a new rotation with some new guys taking the course. And one of the guys was like, man, our so-called president, Donald Trump, he's talking about them shithole countries. But those the same countries that these big corporations going to, feeding them drugs, feeding them guns, feeding them militias, anything they need to destroy the people just for economical gain. But what's ironic about that, it's happening here too in America. It's happening throughout the communities. It's happening in the prisons. So what we got out of that part was the real drug of choice of a lot of people in power in America, and that's money. Money by any means necessary. We'll do anything for money. We'll jeopardize our future. We'll jeopardize future generations. We'll jeopardize the integrity of a people. We seen it in Flint, Michigan with the lead water. The same thing, greed for money. So I try to point these things out when they come up to the brothers that's here about the bigger picture of the addictions in society that reflect upon them, and they really empathize with it. One of the things, the vulnerability part that was in chapter one was really big with me and with most of the guys. Where out in society, you know, it's a lot of people that use drugs. They lack family role models. They are in poor economical situations, victims of abuse. But when you think about the prison culture, this subculture of America is even worse. It's at the bottom of the totem pole. Because in prison, people are affected by all these negative effects times a thousand. Where you got people in here, they stressing because of their long sentences. You got people that stressing from family members, stressing from not having the lifestyle they used to have, not to mention solitary. They worry about their loved ones. When death come to these people, to us in here, me included, it's a stressful thing. Appeal denials. This really make this class of people in America very vulnerable to using drugs. So whenever they come through, people, they use them. It's a real thing here, and we confronting these brothers. But when they came to the class and they hear us speaking truth to power to them, they ain't hearing it from no administration. They ain't hearing it from somebody that don't care about them. They know what we saying is real. They know that we used to be the dealers. They know that we were the head busters. It's still a bust your head if you get out of line on that bull crap. You hear me? So it was really big presenting them with this course, starting off with this problem. And I think Lucinda and Rob, how y'all designed it, like starting with the drug problem, and then you shift your course into decision making. So we started with the problem, but what I liked about the course, it bagged out of the problem and started going towards a solution after we identified the problem, because we see that the drug use and things that people do, we know that that's just the fruit from the root problems, and we start going into the root problems like decision making and things like that. And it was very big. One of the things that I liked about the course that a lot of the brothers here really enjoyed was the decision making worksheet that y'all provided in there. And once they were able to write down their decision making process, we seen like a lot of cognitive glitches and how people were thinking and how they was perceiving things. And we tried to pan that out the best way we can with the time we had and the space we had. One thing about our class in here that's different probably from the ones that you held, Rob, in society, is we get to come back into this community, and live with each other. So it's like, you know, right now I'm in a cell house, and I'm in here with a lot of the brothers that went through the course. You know, we talk. I get to see them. I can see their body language. I can tell if they being used in something, you know, to each his own. I always say that to each his own, but as a brother, you know, I step to him, hey, look, man, you know, that ain't what's real. You know, you need to get yourself together, man. You got your people out there. This is a big chance, you know, in your life. It don't seem like it, but we do understand that being in prison affords us a lot of time to think, to reflect. But you have to be disciplined. But you have to be disciplined anywhere. But I feel like the pressures of living aren't as demanding as they are in society. But it's just different. It's a different level of stresses, like I conveyed earlier, that exist here. But we share with the brothers how to take advantage of their time, you know, through these courses. One of the things in the course, it segue to releasing your anger through the decision-making process. There's a lot of anger in here. And we try to show the brothers, you know, how to cope with the anger. And in the course, what was really, really, that really stood out, Rob, was the anger, the emotions, the mistrust. It's a lot of brothers in here with mistrust. And one of the things that came up was this contradiction. It's a contradictory thought where you have a lot of people in here who live in prison with each other for 10, 15 years, 20 years, but they'll say, hey, man, you don't know me. I'm finna go home and get out and go to my people. I'm like, what you mean I don't know you, man? I seen you for 10, 15 years. I know you better than them. So we knew that it's a lot of trust issues. So it was a problem with brotherhood in here. In this course, on the anger management side of the course, it was showing the brothers how to trust each other, you know, how to follow your anger, how to change that attitude. And it was really incredible with some of the testimonies that we got. We even had a couple brothers, you know, break down. You know, a couple brothers came to me like, LB, man, hey, look, man, it's real, man. You know, I need to make a change. But the way the course is set up, the way it's set up, it's in the perfect process. I don't know where y'all went to really, like, design this thing, but it's really in sync and in a good process. And you went all the way through with to the conflict resolution, which was very good, about creative thinking, how to take breaks, you know, finding things to agree upon. And we were showing these brothers how to really deal with each other, how to deal with themselves through the course.
Right. And with that being said, Leon, I'm going to bring my wife on, and she's going to break all that down with you. You know, my wife created the whole program, and she put that in play, you know. And like I said, we really appreciate you. When I sent it to you in 2015 and you started moving forward, but then they started trying to stop it from coming in, but then you kept moving forward and make it all happen. So I'm going to bring my wife on right now, Leon.
Okay.
All right, babe, you on the line?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, how you doing, Lucinda?
Hey, Leon, long time no see. How have you been?
I've been maintaining. It's been slow motion,
good.
But I got some motion, you know?
Yeah. We are so happy to be working with you on this project and so happy that it's helping men and women behind the bars in those walls to gain some self strength and inner peace and, you know, learn how to change their lives so when they come home, you know, they're able to cope and to be successful citizens out here.
Yeah. I really think, you know, with the course, if you can get this course in more prisons and have prisoners give the course to other prisoners, because how the course set up and what you're doing, it's to be the solution. And not only in here, see, how I look at it, Lucinda, is, and what's been proven historically, is when you become the solution. Be the solution for your community anywhere you be at. We not waiting on nobody. I'm not, hey, look, I love y'all and what y'all are doing, but guess what? If Leon do not want to help himself, I'm no use to y'all trying to help me. But sitting right. the course there and letting us do it and help ourselves, it built confidence in me. It built leadership skills in me. It made me a better communicator with the people around me. And these people will come back to the community. Over 95% of people incarcerated will return back to society. So this right. course placed in strategic places, it'll really make a powerful impact.
Exactly. And that's the thing, exactly what you said. You have to be the change, and you have to want to make those changes. But by being with a group of people in your own community that understands exactly where you're at and what you're going through, you can talk through situations, you can, you know, learn from each other and draw on each other's strengths and you know, figure out your weaknesses and learn how to overcome them and all those different things. So I think, you know, the groups that you have, I think it's powerful.
Oh, man, it's very powerful. It's inspiring. It's spiritual. It's conducive holistically to humanity, you know, to really building and really creating, you know, a better world. You know, for us, in our Hebrew Israelite community, when we was doing the course, we was framing it with scripture too. We was letting mm-hmm. the guys know, hey, you know, you got to be one with the Most High, because one of the things about being an Israelite is going out to the people. The Israelites are not people who are separatists. We are not people who down you for your beliefs, but we are a people that will bring the truth to you. That's what Yahweh wanted us to do. But in order for you to bring the truth, guess what? You got to be the truth. So we were showing the brothers through your course how to be the truth within themselves. And when they develop that truth within themselves, they can take it out to the community and
exactly.
the prison, share it with their families, and bring it out to the world, you know?
Right. Well, you know, we met you years ago. You were on a radio show years ago. And, you know, we've had the Streets Don't Love You back, but I knew that we needed a class. We needed something to actually teach. We needed a curriculum. And so I prayed about it, and it took me a long time to finally sit down. But once I sat down, everything in this book is what came to me. And I just put it together as I thought the things that were important in life, the things that I thought that would be helpful to other people to, you know, first of all, you know, we have to believe in ourselves. We have to believe that we can achieve something. We have to believe that we're good enough. We have to believe that we can overcome. We have to believe that we're smart enough and that we're good enough and that we deserve it. And we have to believe all those things, and that's the hardest part. That's the hardest part.
Yeah.
Then once we understand that we deserve it, that we're good enough, that we're somebody, then everything else will fall into place. But
hey, you're exactly right.
Yeah. You know, the things that we've done in our past, the forgiveness, the shame, those are the hardest things to get past, to forgive ourselves. It's easy to forgive others, but to forgive ourselves for doing it or allowing things to happen to us or whatever it is, that's some of the hardest things, to forgive ourselves, to believe in ourselves.
Hey, you're right. You're right about that. And speaking personally to that, you know, that's a big thing, you know, to go through this situation for many years that I've been through. One of the biggest things that I can do was to forgive others, but also to forgive myself.
Mm-hmm.
Redemption, it comes, I mean, we can say, hey, I forgive, hey, forgive me, hey, I'm redeemed, but I'm here to tell everybody out there what redemption is for me. And it could apply to you, it might not. But I'm just telling you my walk. Redemption is is an integrity of you doing the work. You know what you do when nobody not looking. That's the big thing. That's where redemption comes from. You know, you building and you connecting to the Most High and you building. And one of the biggest things to overcome some of them things of the past is to acknowledge them, but also to make an effort to reach out to people to say, hey, I'm sorry. Could you forgive me? You know, hey, and a lot of times it'd be hard to do that because, especially in this climate of social media, I was listening to the news the other day, and somebody on the news was talking about how negative social media can be, where people would just dog you out when you reveal your truths to them. And because of that, it make people shell themselves in. But I tell all of you guys out there in the world, you know, be the message that you bring, you know, with yourself. You know, when you look in the mirror, if you can't accept that person in the mirror, you know, something wrong. Like I said earlier, if you can't be a blessing in your own skin, wherever you at, you will be a blessing. Nowhere. It start with you. It's within. The kingdom of heaven is within, but you got to manifest it through the actions that you do. We don't live in the times. We live in the actions and the deeds that we do in life.
That's right. You know, it's nice to hear the feedback from you. And your prison, I think, maybe between yours and the one in Detroit, but I think we've had 88 or 89 men totally from your prison that have graduated in the last 2 years from this program. And it's amazing. And I love to get the test back and hear the comments and what they learned about it. And, you know, it's just for me to have the opportunity to be able to help people change their thought pattern or change their life and make a difference. It's overwhelming. So I appreciate
you've done that.
Coming on and giving us the feedback that you are.
Y'all done that. Y'all planted the seeds. Y'all put forth the effort. Y'all planted the seeds. You gave it to me. You know, I done the work that I can do. And that's the thing that's most important. A lot of times we don't think we can make an impact with the little tools that we have. But when we think about it, about the process of things, you know, what you sow, what you reap, it's all about planting the seed. It's all about that seed. It ain't necessarily the fruit. It's the seed.
Amen.
And that's what you guys planted.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah,
it may not grow today or tomorrow.
Work with us, Leon.
Oh, I appreciate it, man.
You know,
I want to do.
Go ahead, Leon.
I want to do some more with the project because here at the facility, hey, I've been involved in so much stuff. I guess you can call it the Joseph effect, like from the script, man. I'm for real.
You have 1 minute remaining.
Hey, give me a second. I'm gonna call back. Okay.
All right, not a problem, Leon. You know,
thank you
like
for
I
using
said, it. Ain't like we get a chance to talk, so we're gonna be looking forward to the call back.
That's right. Do you want to take any callers while we're waiting for him to call back? Looks like we have quite a few callers on.
Yeah, I'm gonna get on there now. And we got last four digits 5099. What would you like to say about Leon speaking so far?
I'm very, very, very proud. I am Leon's mother.
How you doing, Mom? I'm glad to have you on the line.
I'm doing very, very well. I am happy with Leon. I have peace in my mind. I have joy in my life. And just overflowing to hear him, how he has evolved in life and how he's helping other people through you and your wife, giving him the menu to go on, and he spread it out in prison. I'm very proud of my son, and I just want to say thank you.
Hey, you're very welcome. We're very happy that we connected with him in 2011, and he done grew with us all these years, and we're going to steady keep moving forward with him, and until he step feet out the gate, and we still be moving forward. So we appreciate
Amen.
That.
Amen.
All right, we'll go to the next caller. Thanks for being on the line, Moms. He'll be calling right back, so stay tuned.
Okay.
All right. We got the next caller, last four digits, 9399.
Oh, that's me. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
I don't know how to do this. Oh, you can hear me?
Yes, you can just speak at whatever you feel you want to say about Leon's testimony.
I am very, very impressed. I'm a chaplain in Indianapolis, Indiana, and I met Leon through my son. And I also work with other people that know Leon. And I have to admit that this injustice that our system has, starting with the judges, prosecutors, everyone on down, is part of it. I actually went to court with him several times, and the judge, her reaction when she saw his file, she shook her head like, oh, no. I know that they know that this young man is innocent. Well, I began to shake my head listening to the prosecutor because I'm not a lawyer, but what he was saying was baloney, to put it nicely. And I shook my head like, I can't believe these people. She yelled at me like I was a child. Stop it!
Wow.
I looked around the courtroom. I said, who's she talking to? She said, I'm talking to you. Quit shaking your head. I wanted to say so bad, Your Honor. Do you have a guilty conscience? You know, it's really sad that they throw away a key, but what they've done with Leon is they unleashed a man of God that is helping so many people, and it's because of their injustice that he's bringing justice to many. And thank you all
Amen.
For what you're doing. And if I can get a hold of your information, I wouldn't mind taking it into the prisons with me. I have a prison ministry called SOS Ministries. And it's basically, I started it for mothers of inmates. And it's called Sisters of the Struggle. So
okay.
I'll try and get your information so that I can help others as well.
That would be great. You can email us at thestreetsdontloveyoubackatgmail.com, and we'll be more than happy to send you some information, and you can email us your address, and we can mail some things off to you, but we can start moving forward in that area.
Okay, that sounds great.
Absolutely.
God bless you.
Thank you for listening
thank
in.
Thank you so much. You too, ma'am. All right, stay tight
All
now because
right.
Leon will be right back. All right, we're going to the next caller. Our last four digits is 8710. You're on there.
Eight seven one zero, last four digits. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Okay, this is Dayon Miller. I was locked up with Leon. Met him years ago when I first came in. And this is one of the few brothers I came across in prison that really transformed my way of thinking. I feel like he had a lot of charisma about himself and a lot of optimism about himself, even though he was in prison for something he ain't do. And when I sat down and read his court papers and saw for myself that he ain't do what he did, it really encouraged me because I was actually in there for something I did do. and it gave me hope and gave me courage to pull on and strive and try to get out of prison and do something better with my life. Now I'm out, been out for 2 years now, about to start my welding degree, you know what I mean? Got a car, nice girlfriend, I appreciate it. And, you know, I stay in contact with Leon all the time, and he teaches me and courage. So, you know, I'm really happy that y'all have given him a chance to speak out, because he's one of the most articulate brothers I came across in prison. He gave me this one book called Man's Search for Meaning. And one thing it talked about in there, it was about this dude that was a psychiatrist that was in the Nazi camp back in the days. And one of the things he realized when he came up with logotherapy is that the essence of life ain't about power, ain't about pleasure. It's about meaning, finding meaning wherever you are. And he used to quote Friedrich Nietzsche all the time. He said, he who has a why can deal with almost any hell, meaning no matter how hard the circumstance is, as long as you have meaning in life, you can wake up and still pursue a day where you live with purpose. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And that's what we're doing out here, and that's what them brothers in there are doing, trying to find in there. And what Leon is doing for them in there, he's trying to help them find that meaning that's going to keep them grounded to get back out and be productive in life. You know what I mean? And
exactly.
That's one thing I love about that brother, because he's always positive. And the ones who come under his influence, when they get out, they're going to be positive as well. They're not going to come back to our community being destructive like they really want us to be. So I give a shout out to my brother Leon, Valerie, and everybody, and say press on, man. And I hope real soon with this appeal that you get the play that you deserve, my brother.
My man,
that's right.
Well, we appreciate you calling in, my good brother, and supporting our main man, Leon, down there in Indiana. So if you can, hold tight on the line. Leon will be right back, and we'll continue this discussion on prison reform and moving forward with the Streets Will Love You Back Life Skill Intervention Program. So stay tuned. All right, we just wanted to say to the listeners out there in the viewers from around the world, Leon, great man, you know, and we just want everybody to understand that some people make mistakes and some people get caught up on mistakes, you know, and Leon got caught up on a mistake, that something that he didn't even do. So we want to keep pressing on, keep putting the word out there about Leon's case and what he's doing to give back inside to walls to help other brothers move forward in the Indiana prison. And we just want to thank God for all the blessings he's done. Bless you. Just heard the testimony of the young man that was locked up with Leon, the testimony of the chaplain that corresponds with Leon and have been standing in the gap with Leon, you know. And if you would like to learn more about our organization and programs, you can go to our main website, and that's at www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.com. You can see all the work me and my wife do across the country. Our organization is in 150 prisons around the country. We do prison reform right here in our state of Arizona, in the prison system here in Arizona. We also is in the court system here in Arizona, where we teach the program in the judge's chamber. We're also in the county jails here in the state of Arizona. We work with the senators, work with the prosecutors, work with the judges, the mayors. We work with everybody in the state that's moving forward to help people move forward. And that's what me and my wife love. Nobody is being stagnated by what the problem is. Everybody knows what the problem is. They dissected the problem. Now we're all about the solution. And we can lock everybody up, like me and my wife tell legislation and everybody. We can lock everybody up for a crime that they do. But one thing we have to understand, 85% of these people that don't have a life sentence, they're coming back home. We have to understand what type of men and women we want coming back to our communities, what type of men and women we want coming back living next door to us and our families. We want educated men and women coming back. We want men and women coming back not angry, not bitter, but in a position where you can come home and get you a job, you can have family, you can move forward and tell your testimony about how somebody helped you move forward. So that's basically what all this thing is about that me and my wife been working on for 9 straight years. Anything you got to say, sweetie?
I don't know, 'cause there's several more callers on the line down below. Are any of them lead on?
Okay, let me keep moving, Dan.
You know
all right, let's go to, we're going to go to 5434, last four digits. 5434, you on the line. Area code 309. All right, I guess they just listening right now. I think my man, main man Leon is back, so let me click back over here.
Hello?
You back in motion, Leon?
Man, I'm back in motion, man.
Yeah,
all right, we've been taking a lot of callers, you know, letting him wait while he was meditating for a minute.
Oh, man, hey, you know, hey, while I was away trying to get my thoughts together and reach back to you, I was thinking about something that was in your, and it went back to Lucinda's question, too, about us being that spark within. It was something in your self-improvement part that said nobody can go back and start a new beginning, but everyone can start today and make a new ending. So I was thinking about that. I was thinking about that, and I know this sounds spiritual, but, you know, I'm like, I'm the scientific spiritual guy, right? I'm like quantum physics 3040, you know, but... So this is what I want to say, right? This is real. Like, you will hear this, but people mistake it as a cliche. Okay, the present is a gift. And this is what I got out of this statement that y'all had in your in the self-improvement part. So the present is a gift. It's a gift because if you change the present, you change the past and the future at the same time. So a guy was like, how do you do that, AOB? I said, look, so if you do the good things right now in the present, you would change the perception of the past. No matter what you did in the past, the perception of that would change because of who you are today. And then the future would change because the prospects would change from what you're doing now. Now, that's a real thing.
Yeah.
So I never panned it out, but I got that from that statement that y'all made in that self-improvement and going through the class with brothers and from their questions. And I think it's a real, real proposition to really change. It's the truth. Whatever you do right now, in your moment, no matter where you at, you would change the perspective of your past. The perception of your past,
right. And how,
but the prospects
and
of your future
have changed
too.
Exactly.
Right.
How people look at you from when you was that gangbanger, when you was that dope dealer, when you was an addict. You know what I mean? It's all about what you do now of your life that can change not only just you, but change a lot of people around you as well. And that's the whole key of change, you know? Changing your mindset first to even move forward, to not want to be a banger, not want to be a drug dealer, not want to be the person running around taking from the family members and all of that, you know. So we just honored, man, to have you on our team inside them walls. You know, like I was saying before you got back in motion, you know, we're in 150 prisons around the country, and you was one of the prisons that we started moving out with in 2011, because we started the organization in 2009 when we started moving around the country. And so you got right in with us, you know what I'm saying? 2 years later when you got at me and I started sending you stuff inside that prison. So it took a 5-straight-year process for me and my wife to accumulate the 150 prisons, you know? So it's just a blessing that we got people in the walls, men and women, who teaches the program, who let inmates know you can change, you can do right, and you can come back home and do something right and make a difference not only in your life but in somebody else's too. So we appreciate that, Leon.
Oh, man, I appreciate y'all. One thing people need to understand you know, before people incarcerated, or, you know, it's a walk through life. For one, it's a walk through life. But for people that's incarcerated, when they first come through who done long-term imprisonment, it's the people that affect them. It's the people out there in the world, how you treat your loved one in there. It's the people out there in the world, if you say, hey, I'm going to call, are you going to be there? Are you going to send me that letter back? Are you going to be, you know, what you say you are? Because a lot of people will say, hey, I love you. But I tell y'all, it's few people that love you and care about what you're going through. So that's where the love come in at. That's faith with works right there. You got to show people Amen. That you love them through your actions. I'm telling you, a letter, an email, being consistent, it don't take much. It just takes being real, being faithful. Because we know in the Bible, in the Torah, loyalty don't even come up. It ain't a such thing as loyalty in the Bible. It's faithfulness, being faithful. Faithful is on a higher level. Have faith in your people. Faith is reaching out and doing the right thing for the people that you really love. And what y'all was doing, y'all exemplified that with what you're doing with the different people in the different prisons. You came across with me like that. You know, sometimes you don't have to articulate something so beautiful and say some beautiful words. It's about what you do. And you always been about your work, you and Lucinda, from day one. If we ran into a pitfall, we went around it. If I didn't hear from you in a while, you were like, hey, what's going on, Leon? Hey, get back with us. You kept me informed of what's going on. So that's a beautiful thing, and I appreciate that. And I'm sure that many of the other brothers and sisters in different prisons appreciate that. Not only do I appreciate that with y'all, but I definitely appreciate that with the people out there that get at me since I've been in. Like, it's a sister, my spiritual mother, Ruth. She always been there for me, and she come through. Hey, she bring, you know, I'm not a Christian, but I love her. She loved me. She said, yeah, brother, you still a man of God. You know, I'm like, okay, we saying the same God. She said, oh, semantics ain't nothing. But I love this sister with what she do, not only with me, but with my son and other prisoners. Fury Young with the Die Jim Crow Project. This brother allowed me to do some music with him, to do artwork, and he got an epic album, you know, coming out about mass incarceration. You know, my queen sis Val, you know, that's my youngest sister. You know, all my family love me. All my family love me. I love all them. But my queen sis Val, she definitely got a faith for me because it's been real. I always been real with my fam. I say, look, man, this is what I'm on. I'm not playing with you. But my queen sis Val, you know, she had the time and had the faith, you know, to roll out with me, get me in different spaces. And I really appreciate her. Her and my niece, they like my number one supporters. You know what I mean? I really, like, feel special, right? I feel, like, all googly right now, right? But I ain't finna cry. You know what I mean? But look, Steve Willett out the UK, he's been a big supporter of mine. And right out of New Hampshire, she has Dunya out of Switzerland. This sister, she put up her time to do things on my website. Sigrid Davis out of Germany. I mean, just real people down from day one. Like, hey, look, I'm feeling where you coming from. You real. My man John Connor, though, out of Flint, Michigan, man. He with Dre. You know, he doing his thing. And my main man, Ozzy Audio, you know, Najee Gant, you know. Hey, he doing big things, you know. And I can go on and on. It's so many people that have done so many things, you know. The Jess Leadership in the U.S., you know, I'm a member of that. I'm a member of Walking in These Shoes with the sister Kimberly Carter out of Virginia. I'm a board member, prisoner board member for Another Chance to Bridge the Gap. I'm also involved with the Commandment Keepers in Gary, Indiana, with Habakkuk, with the Kingdom of Yahweh, Wailing Demona. It's brothers that fly away from Demona, Israel, from the Kingdom of Yahweh, to come check us out in prison and let us know what's going on. The congregation of Zion in Kokomo, IDOC Watch, Tightline, The Future in Bloomington, Indiana, with the brothers Nick Grieving and Malcolm S. and Youth Visions in D.C. with the brother Dr. Vincent Jordan. You know, these groups and individuals, y'all, that's the love. I mean, one way or another, you know, y'all touch me, you know. I probably forgot a lot of people, but that was on my mind, so it was on my heart. Y'all must have did something recently or something. I don't know. But I love all y'all with what y'all are doing, right?
It's nice to know that you have that support, even though you're stuck in there for something that you didn't do and probably really frustrated because even with the evidence or lack of evidence, they're not paying attention to you. It just seems like there's so much more that needs to be done or that we should be doing, and I don't know how to do it.
There's
so many people in your situation that are in there that shouldn't be.
I think what we need to do, you know, reform, you know, that's part of the steps to reform the system. A bigger part of the steps is to just revamp it. You know, we got the three branches of government, the legislative branch, the executive branch, and the judicial branch. The biggest power of all those branches come from the legislative process, the people who make the laws. But let's be real. Just what I alluded to earlier about this big addiction for this country, for the corporations, is greed, is money. And the pseudo or de facto branch of government in this country is the corporations. Let's be real. They got all the money for the lobbyists. They run it. How can you compete with that? They will make a law that they want in your face. You're like, man, that don't even make sense. You know, we seeing it right now. We seeing how I ain't even going to call him the president. I'm going to call him number 45. Okay, number 45, we seen what number 45 been doing. He been dismantling what Barack Obama was doing with Affordable Care Act. With everything that this guy put together that was helping the people, this guy's dismantling. And this guy coming through trying to build a wall. He got talk of chaos. Nuclear bomb talks are everywhere. This guy tweets. He tweets corruption and chaos. But it's all for a dollar for him. But I say this, with all honesty, he didn't get in office by himself. It was a group of people in the world right now who believe in this illusion that might is right, this illusion that if I got things, I am somebody. See, one of the things about coming to prison, being falsely in prison, being an ex-drug dealer who had it, was I got to kill the notion that things made me. See, you don't need a thing to make you. But in this capitalistic material world, things make people, you know, and that's why Donald Trump is in office. People believed that a reality TV star could run America. And this, look at what we got. Look at what we got. It exploded in our face. But these are the same guys, what I was talking to earlier, who control the lobbying system of the legislation that make the laws. And then you get the judicial system that these judges back, they are backing. And now what you get, what's the result? Mass incarceration. See, I'm a political prisoner by proxy. Okay, I'm not Mo Mia, my brother. I'm not Matulu, my brother. I'm not Tookie Williams, my brother. But I am one of the many political prisoners trapped in the system because we were put there for political reasons, for economical gain by prison for profit. And it's going down every day. Like right now, it's a mail policy in Indiana that says our people here can't write us letters on tight paper. You can't send no colored paper in no more, no colored envelopes, this and that. Now, on the surface, they say the reason why they're doing it is because it's a drug epidemic, which it is some truth to it, spice or mm-hmm. K2, what they call it. And around these ways, they call it Tunchi, right? You know, mm-hmm. some bug spray that people smoke because it don't show up on a drug test. But they use that as an excuse in April 2017 to change the mail policy. So it's nobody can, you can't just send any type of mail. It got to be on a certain notebook line paper to receive the letter. However, in January 2017, the IDOC got together with Global Tech, which is the same company who I'm talking to through the phone, and I'm letting mm-hmm. y'all know I'm doing it. I'm gonna tell you about it later, right? Because your boy kicked their butt, right? I'm gonna tell you about that. But what's going on with IDOC? They brokering a deal with Global Tel Link to bring in these tablets. You see what I'm saying? See, they got mm-hmm. these tablets that's coming in, so. What they doing, in my opinion, and in my experience being in it and looking at it, I believe that IDOC created this policy to stagnate the mail, to make more people use services like JPay, because they getting paid on both ends. If my people send a letter in to me, they pay for the posters out there. The DOC don't get nothing. But when you go to JPay, right. it's everybody. So you get these things. Everything got this greed incentive to it. Everything. And it's
so
wicked.
They have the online visits now where you have to pay them to sit in a desk to talk to somebody out here, but you're in front of a computer screen in there, and they may be at home on their computer, and it's charging money. So they're
right.
getting rid of actual visits, so you're not having any communication with the outside.
And that's where it's going to, and it's going to be a dollar for everything. Everything is for a dollar. It's about a dollar. I'm telling you. Look.
Yeah.
This is my thing, you know. And I tell my at first it took a while to purge it out. What I'm saying is I'm not here preaching like. Hey, I'm like this Huey P. Newton, George Jackson or something. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying that I see it. I seen what those prophets was talking about in real time and what's going on now. People with these things, look, they can't take your ideas. You can't take my ideas. You can't take my skill. You can't take my experiences that I had with somebody
right.
or something. That's something that's within. That's something that I can redo. And I said some time ago, the soul of a man never dies. It only lives in the hearts and minds of those who knew him. So that's further evidence that the kingdom of heaven is within. It's in your mind. It's in your heart.
Right.
Something happened in 2014. Just transitioning. In 2014, my sister Val put together an event page on Facebook. It was called mm-hmm. Pack the Court, Make It Tremble. It was just about gaining support for people to come to court in my PCR hearing to rule for me.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden in September, do you know that the Pendleton Internal Investigation Department, they sent me to lock up for group demonstration. They sent me to lock up. They like, oh, man. And they showed it to me. They was like, yeah, you did a group demonstration.
And you didn't,
and they
even,
locked
and you
me
didn't
in
even do it?
Right. But look what I'm saying. Because what my sister done, she was advocating for me.
Exactly.
And they came through and violated my civil rights, my First Amendment rights to freedom of speech. They just came through and they done it. They put me in lockup for 90 days. They tried to gag
wow.
me. They took my books. you know, everything. You know, they ain't want me to write. They came to me. They said, look, don't radicalize our population, you know, with all this stuff that you be talking about and all these people that want to follow behind you and listen to you. But, you know, that ain't a thing. My ego out of it. You know, I just spit the truth to people. So what happened was we ended up taking them to court. We took them to court with the ACLU. And, yeah, we kicked their butt, right? We kicked their butt, right? Now, it was a blessing. It was a bigger blessing. It's a two-pronged blessing. Now, we beat them out, and, you know, we won. We settled. Now, they gave me a little bit of money. I was like, man, you know, I got a little bit of money, you know, for my defense fund. But, you know, the Most High worked in mysterious ways. Now I got a son. And it's my fault. I'm not going to blame the system. Because we got to stop being victims sometimes, even in this situation. Right. I got to stop. Look, at some point, I got to be empowered and do something. I'm not no victim no more of the system of this injustice. So I got to accept some of the things that I did to get here. And I was in the streets. And that's part of the thing about being in the streets. You know, occupational hazard, my brother once told me. And it's true. So that's how I got here. So at some point, I cared more about the streets, about getting that money, right, getting that bread, than I did about my family, about my sons, my daughters. I didn't think about how I was going to lead them out there. So
you were living
son,
in the moment,
you know,
instead of
ended up going to prison. He ended up going to prison. He caught a case, but they had the deck stacked against him. So the little money that I got from the lawsuit, oh, man, I got all of it. I just put it on here, 10 bands. There you go, for a lawyer. Man, go on here, man, do your thing. And it paid off for him because he was facing 30 years for robbery, and he ended up, you know, getting 4. He's down in Branchville. I communicate with him. But we beat him out. You know, the Most High worked in a lot of ways, but it's a triumphant story. You hear me? You hear my energy? It's still a tragedy, too. But isn't that true for life everywhere, though?
Yeah. Hey, Leon, I just want to let you know that while we were on break with you and waiting for you to call back, we did speak with your mom, who's still listening, to your friend, Mr. Miller, who you've been a mentor to, and also to one of your chaplains. So they're still listening. If you have any shout-outs or if you have anything that you want to tell them while they're on the line.
Oh, hey, I definitely appreciate what y'all said. Whatever y'all said.
it was all good.
Dayon Miller, me and Dayon Miller, we became acquainted while I was in prison. We was on the shoe. I knew of him in population, you know, stand up guy. But we really bonded on the shoe. Now for me, when I met this brother, right? Now this brother like introduced me to stuff like the Willie Lynch letter. Like he had so much. He was like, man, look, bro, look. This is what they doing to us. They playing the game. He was like one of these brothers, right? But he was so passionate and so real. And I always tell him, whatever he said, I wasn't his mentor. He was my mentor. You know, I am Morpheus. He's Neo, though. I'm Morpheus. He's Neo, right?
Yeah.
You are the one Neo, you know.
Well, he paid you a lot of respect, and he says he's been out 2 years, and he still reaches to you for mentorship and guidance. So he gave you an amazing compliment.
Oh, hey, that's big. I appreciate that. But you know how I go. Iron sharpens iron, you know. And he's definitely one of them brothers that's very positive. He's definitely serious about what he do. When we was down there, we went in. We went on some voyages. We really helped each other. It was a situation that don't exist in prison no more. It's not a fellowship no more. Everybody out for they self. We had a brotherhood on them decks back then. And I think I mentioned, I inadvertently mentioned the Chaplain Ruth. She's very big in doing her thing. My mother. Let me tell you about my mother. See, I'm Yvonne's son. Leon Yvonne's son, you know. You see, I love my mother. My mother, she's done a lot for me. You know, whether she know it or not, you know. My mother, she's a Christian woman. She's been in the faith. But I you know, I tell my mother, like right now, you know, I'm a Toastmaster, and I do these speeches. I probably done gave like 100 speeches now. Man. But I get it from my mother, and I get it from my father. They very outspoken people. You know, they hearty, hard people. You know, they laugh hard. They talk loud. They are who they are, you know. They never faked at it. And that's something that I really got from them. But let me tell you about my let me tell you about my mother, right? Look, one day I called my mother. I was in the shoe, right? And I was figuring, like, man, it's something to it, right? It must be a biological thing, because I'm, like, really strong, right? People, like, falling to the wayside, but I'm not, though. You know, I'm like 33 or something at the time. So I called my mother, right? I'm like, hey, Ma. Hey, how you doing? You know, she's staying in Flint, Michigan. She was doing okay. I was like, hey, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the lessons and all the rules of the world that you showed me and overcoming your addiction and your struggles. Hey, I want to appreciate you, especially, you know, what you did for me as a kid. Because as a kid, when I was a kid, my parents, they used to train me. With my address, they had me memorize my address, my phone number. They would let me go to the store early, so they'd do these drills. So it was one situation where they took me to the mall, and I was in the mall, and they just kind of disappeared to see what I would do. And I went to the police. I was like about 4, 5. I went to the police, like, yeah, you know, my mother name, you know, Yvonne Buford. And my daddy named George Buford, and I'm lost. And my address and my phone number is this, and they called it over the intercom. So I told my mother about that. I said, I appreciate you doing that. And she stopped, and she was like, baby. She was like, wait. She was like, wait, baby. I wasn't training you. I was trying to get rid of your black ass. So I was like, whoa. Hey, I was like, for real? But she's like, I'm just playing with you, boo, you know? But, hey, I love my mother. My mother, she do her thing. She's into her struggle. Some people don't understand her. I understand you, Ma. I love you. And I know,
Let me bring your mom. Mom, I'm going to bring you back on the line here so that you can. All right. Mom,
yes,
I have you
Leon.
On the line.
Yes, Leon, I love you. And I'm so proud of you, how you are helping other people during their struggle in prison. And by listening to you, you know how you could make a difference.
You have 1 minute remaining.
You know, it's just a joy in my heart to hear you and see the things that you are doing in life. And continually stepping and blessing others. Because
Amen.
God.
Leon, are you going to be able to call back in?
I'm going to call back. I'm going to click off and I'm going to call back.
Your time, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
I'm 45.
Well,
thank
right.
you for
Mom,
using
we're
GTL.
You back on hold and.
And I'll call right back.
Yeah, no, Mom, you stay there, and Leon will call back in a minute.
Okay.
We'll put you back on hold until we get him back on.
All right.
All right. Boyd, you there?
Yeah, I think we got a few more people on the line. Mm-hmm. We got last four digits, 7886. We're going to bring them in.
Okay.
Last four digits, 7886, you're on the air.
Hey, guys, this is Leon's brother, Rod.
Hey, Rod,
right,
welcome
my man.
To the show.
Hey, thanks for
you got a few things to say about Leon's testimony.
Say again.
Oh no, I was just saying you had a few things to say about Leon's testimony.
Oh yeah, you know, I'm like everybody else, very proud of him, what he's done. He's, you know, remain a positive force for a lot of people. You know, he's been an inspiration to me. His just his strength, his abilities. You know, we were, you know, kind of united later in our teens. And got to be real close, and you know I'm I was in Flint as well with him, and I know the struggle, and was very proud of him. He's a very articulate guy. He's very creative. He's very intelligent, and you know I think once even he gets through all of this, the world will inherit. An even greater force for good once he's through. I think, you know, God doesn't make any mistakes, and it's unfortunate what has happened here and what he's endured, but he's kind of like, I look at him like Nelson Mandela in a sense, you know. You have to go through a lot, suffer for the masses, and then come out with you know, a greater and stronger message that can be, a force for change. So, very, very proud of him.
All right. We appreciate that, my man. Just stay tight. Leon will be calling back, and I'm going to go to the next caller right quick.
And thank you, guys.
You're welcome very much.
Oh, you're very welcome, my friend. All right. We're going to go to last four digits, 7636. You're on the air.
Yes, this is his uncle JB. Simply go by JB. The J stands for Jesus, and the B stands for believer. And I listen to him. I'm down here in Dallas, Texas, and I'm an hour behind you all. So I've only heard since about 7 p.m. But from what I'm hearing and from what I'm knowing, Dwayne, as I know him, and you all know him as Leon. I used to change his diapers when he was just a little baby. And I do know he will make it through the storm. When the storm of life is raging, he will stand by you, Dwayne. You got a praying grandmother. She's in heaven now. But you will make it through it, my brother. You will make it through the shoe, and you will come out stronger than ever before. So always remember,
amen.
You're kicking, and you're not high, and you're flying and can't fly. And I know you're living, and you're not ready to die. So come on out of there. We're going to have a big party for you. Stay
you
strong,
hear that,
brother.
Leon? I got Leon back on. He can hear you,
okay.
JD.
Yeah. All right.
Uncle JD's been talking.
Oh, hey, I heard that. Hey, I appreciate that. For my Uncle
yes,
Junior,
sir.
For my brother, you know, my Uncle Junior, he's one of the greatest entrepreneurs that I knew in my life. I should have took his path. See, and it's funny where when you really think about things where you had all the tools you need, see, that's how the Most High work, and you go chasing an illusion. See, I was out there chasing illusions, but I had everything that I needed to be on track to be a legitimate entrepreneur with just the blueprint that my uncle made. Like, I mean, I remember this dude with limousines since I was like 5, you know, and he always done his thing. He never was into drugs, none of that. He always kept a legitimate, real boss in the realest sense all through life. And I really respect him for that. And I love him for that. You know, hey, he used to be bigger than me, you know, back then. I think I'm taller than him now, right? I'm taller than you now.
Right,
oh, you know.
I'm right at 6 feet.
Hey, Hey, man, I love you, man.
Love you. Love you. Stay strong, brother.
I appreciate that. You make me think about your sister, my auntie Tiny.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about my auntie Tiny. You know, she's definitely been a one of the family members that been in my corner throughout this ordeal, sending me books, make me want to holler. Nathan McCall was one of the most influential books that I read and getting into my intellectual life, and she sent me that book. But, you know, she was very big on education. When she was a voice, you know, you have voices in your head when you move through life, and she's been an enduring voice in my conscience throughout my life. Hey, Dwayne, they call me Dwayne, right? Hey, they didn't put it out there, man. Y'all ain't. Hey, Dwayne. I used to hear this from my mom. Dwayne. You know, hey, that's crazy, right? Man, you know, now people gonna know. They like, man, LB, man, you supposed to be this revolutionary, the new Cornel West, and your middle name, Dwayne, man, get out of here. But look, the thing about it, my aunt Tiny, you know, she always was big on education, and she still is. She's a fabulous mentor. She's been a part of her New Dawn Restoration Church down in Tampa. They interacted with me. They've been a pillar of support for me. But my auntie Tiny, you know, I really love my auntie Tiny. She came and visited me, and she cried. And I remember seeing that with my auntie Tiny. She cried. She didn't like seeing me behind the glass. And that really sparked something, you know, in me, because it make me feel some type of way when you can see your people hurt. You know, it lets you know that you need to do something better, you know, within the situation, you know, and I went out my way, not only her, but for the rest of my family members, to let you know, I'm not going to fall to the wayside, you know, I'm one of the native sons, you know, when they speak about me, they're going to speak about me correct, they're going to speak about me, you know, when you play the tapes back, you're going to see my footprints. I'm going to leave footprints everywhere I go, and my footprints going to be like craters everywhere I go. Because we only got one shot at this, you know, according to my beliefs. You can go to Ecclesiastes 3:10-16, and the Most High said, hey, man, you know, in the end, he going to go back to the dirt, like everybody, and the spirit going to come back to me. So we got to have the right attitude in this space with the people we love. And I want to let all my people know out there, I love y'all. I love y'all so much. I just went and did a piece for a memorial. And the name of the piece of the memorial I did was Who Needs Flowers at Their Funeral? And I was so inspired by the people that came to me of all colors and races. They was like, man, you're right. It inspired me to make a song. And I want to give y'all the chorus, just to let y'all feel it and feel where I'm from, because some things are visceral. And it goes like this. Who needs your flowers? Who needs your flowers? Who needs your flowers at their funeral, at their funeral? Who needs your flowers? Who needs your flowers? Who needs your flowers at their funeral, at their funeral? I don't need your flowers. I don't need your flowers. I don't need your flowers at my funeral. And from that verse, what I'm saying is we got to look out for each other now. And what I'm saying, the love that I got, to some it might seem like it was less. To some it might seem it was more. But at the end of the day, it's part of the reason why I'm still here. I can't do this alone. All of y'all out there, y'all been a part, y'all been good energy. And what I'm going to tell y'all, I'm telling y'all, this is prophetic. This is prophetic and what's going to happen. I ain't playing no games. I'm coming out running because I know what I got to do. I got purpose. I got divine purpose. I didn't have purpose before, but sometimes we find it along the way. But all the sacrifice each of you made, my brother, you know. And, you know, sometimes, you know, with my brother, I just be want to hug my brother more than everybody, you know, because my brother, you know, he a good dude. He a good dude. You know, he been in the storm. He been doing his thing, you know, from day one, too. Positive person. But I just want to let you know, man, I want to hug you, man. Because I know, man, you know it's real, man. All my people out there, you know, I feel y'all. It's real, you know? And we going to do real things. This ain't no, this not a joke. This not no act. Because the streets don't love you back. We know that. We live in that. That's why this brother, Rob, and this sister, Lucinda, they let me have this platform to deliver this testimony like that to y'all. And I pray to y'all to give me the words to tell y'all, you know, in the world, you know, what's going to happen, because that's what he wanted to be. And I thank y'all. I can't stop thanking y'all. I could just go on and on and on. I really love y'all, everybody out there.
Well, we want to thank Uncle JD for coming on and sharing a few words. We're going to go ahead and go back to your mom now and let her finish real quick what she was talking about. So hang in there with us, Uncle JD. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Stay strong.
All right.
Hello.
Mom, we have you back on.
Yes. Hello.
You're back on now, Mom. You can finish if you remember what you were talking about.
Well, I was talking about how positive that Leon is, and I'm getting proud of him. And he made my day tonight that I have a totally outlook on the life from this moment on. And like he said about forgiveness, if you can forgive yourself, you can forgive others. Because that's
right.
The biggest hold-up in the world today is unforgiveness. When you take that and ask God to forgive and sweep everything from under the rug. Take everything from under the rug to the Lord in prayer. I pray for Leon each and every day. I pray for his safety. I pray for his protection. I pray for the work that he's doing in prison for other inmates. And I pray that everything go well. And I know I will see Leon coming home.
Amen.
I appreciate that, Mom. Appreciate that. I do. I appreciate that. My mother, she's a strong woman. She's been through a lot. You know, we've been through a lot.
Yeah.
But, you know, we use them as stepping stones, you know, to move forward. And that's the biggest thing out of all this, especially through you guys' courses that you allow me. And let me repeat that. Y'all allow me to do, and I feel like it was an honor to do it. We doing other things here too in the prison, and I'm segueing that course into other things that we do. Right now, I'm a part of the Toastmaster International Club Raising the Bars. I was the VP of Public Relations in 2017. Right now, I'm the advanced speaker of our club. We a distinguished club in Indiana. It's powerful. We created some powerful platforms like the IUPUI Criminal Justice class came and done a semester with us, and it was so powerful. I was able to impact 50 students from the outside just through the spoken word, through my speeches. They came and they told me every part of my speech that they loved. They was inspired. I wish I can get that content to y'all. I did a especially powerful speech called The Invisible Truth, and I revealed my innocence. That's the first time I ever done that on a platform in prison, but I had to give it to them raw. When I was done, people was like, with snot bubbles and everything. I was like, wow, you know. But it was real. It was authentic. And we used that platform, the Toastmaster platform, to get off into another program that we got going on and that I'm involved in. It's called the Inside Out Prison Exchange Program with Dr. Crystal Garcia of IUPUI University, and it's about mass incarceration. She said, hey, Leon, I had to get you. You one of the most informative people and articulate people to speak it. I like the way you speak with a passion or whatnot, and your information is on point. So I'm in that class. That's a beautiful thing. Another class and program that I'm involved with very heavily is Changing Lives Through Literature, Poetic Justice, alongside my brothers, Philip Stroud and Demetrius Burks. Both of those brothers was on Lock Up Raw, too, and they got a story out there. If you know the name, they out there, my brothers. So we put it together. We got all the heavy hitter poets of this institution, and we got them together in one room, and it's a very powerful thing. I'm learning, I'm giving and creating every day. We were tasked with creating the Black History program for this year. So we ain't going to say Black History. We going to say the people's history, because it's time to unify the people. You know, it's bigger than 1 month, and it's bigger than the skin color. So we get to push that project, and we have the sister, Gladys Devane will come and speak. This sister is 82 years old. She's a pillar in the community. She's a walking history. And we got this brother named Daryl Ross, who's a professor from IU University. He'll come through, and he's going to speak, too. And the rest of the program, I'm going to speak, get some spoken words, and teach the people. And it's another program in here that we involved in, Shakespeare at Pendleton, through Jack Heller. We were able to do a couple of plays. I mean, it was beautiful. It's something that I like. I taught Shakespeare in the Shoe. Many of you out there knew me from Lock Up Raw for, you know, doing Shakespeare, you know, within the Shoe. I get some lag from the guys right now. They're like, man, hey, every time I look at that, man, I see you speaking through the door. But, you know, the Most High, you know, he put you in a position to speak however you speak. At that time, it was for me to speak through a little cupboard door and still be inspirational. It's another program called The Navigators. I completed that here recently. It's a Bible storytelling program. So I'm an official Bible storytelling instructor. That's ran by Chaplain Peterson. And it's beautiful. You know, we come through and we articulate the stories of the Bible in real time. Not nothing preachy, but in real time, cadence, voice, spirit, you know, as if I met you on a corner. And it's a lot of good people out there. You know, if any of you interested in the Toastmaster program down here at Pendleton, get in contact with Jeff King to see if you can come in to see what we do. It's transformative. That spirit is in there. We got some of the most powerful speakers in prison. We gonna get TED Talks off in here, and I got some for TED Talks because at this point, I feel like with you guys giving me this platform, you know, my particular testimony, when I get out, I'm gonna do motivational speaking. You know, I still do the music, spoken word. I do other artwork, but them the type of things that I'm gonna do to reach the people. I feel like my purpose was to have my voice and use it right. And one of the reasons why I'm in prison, it's called the Jonah effect. See, it's the Jonah effect because I was sitting out there the whole time. You can ask my brother when we had two radios. I was spitting with two radios recording, right? But I was taking it to the neighborhood, my little mixtapes, man. They loved it. They was like, oh, man, you know, you better than the Dayton family, you know. I'm like, yeah, okay. But this is something that's still with me, something that I do, but it's voice. But I didn't get out there and do the right thing. I kept running from it, just like Jonah. When y'all told Jonah, man, go to them people. Go to your enemies and minister to them. Tell them to get out the way. That's what Yahweh was telling me my whole life. But I never wanted to do it. I wanted to do something else. But instead of being swallowed by the whale, I was swallowed by the beast. Mass incarceration. I was swallowed within the womb of the beast, and I've been left here to gestate until I repented. You know, repent means to change your mind, until my mind changed and my outlook changed, and I embrace my purpose. And I want everybody out there to know, you know, embrace your purpose. When you hear that voice in your head, follow that intuition. See what it's saying, because that's a higher power talking to you. If you don't follow that, you going against the natural elements of who you are, of your being, you being somebody else. Take off the clown suits. There's many of us out there wearing clown suits and don't even know it. I'm not sure if you guys out there ever seen a movie called A Clown. It's called A Clown, right? And it's a horror movie. And it's about a guy, he put on his clown suit, but the clown suit won't come off. And he wake up and he look in the mirror, and he got like a red nose, right? And he can't pull it off. He like, it won't come off, right? But it's a lot of people out there that got on identities, got on suits that's not theirs. And they need to get into their real self, be who they are. And the only way to get from out those suits is to repent. Change your mind. Change your mind, and you will change your path, you know, from wickedness. I really appreciate y'all for giving me this platform, and I really look forward to continue to work with you and to continue to spread the word about the streets don't love you back and the courses they have to follow. And I wanna do a proposal. I want to do a proposal to you, hey, on the spot.
What's that?
In my Hebrew Israelite community, we have several brothers that's doing big things. We got a inside outreach writing program where brothers on the inside is writing letters to their old selves as introductions to at-risk youth. And we want to send those letters to the youth and correspond with at-risk youth, because who can better tell a youth about the pitfalls of the world than their future selves if they continue down
Absolutely.
The path that they're on? So right now we working with Dr. Vincent Jordan from Youth Visions Incorporated, but we want to spread this thing out to the Streets Don't Love You Back and other places that we can put this outreach work with, reaching these youth, these real letters, and then we can set up calls like this with the youth, conference calls that'll really impact them. One thing that I seen in my life that I never really had like a mentor to come snatch me up. Those
right.
brothers and sisters out there, they need somebody to come snatch them up, to let them know that they care. And we got a group of brothers in here. One of the brothers, his name is Tanel Nash. You know, he created this platform. I polished it up, and I gave it some direction. Him, you got the brother Anthony Houston. You got the brother Abadja Israel. And I told you about David Newson. And it's so many good brothers, Philip Stroud, Demetrius Burks, all these wonderful brothers. It's a treasure of brothers that's in this place. It's a renaissance going on, because we know that something big is coming. And I'm going to tell you what that is. When you look at Genesis 15:13, when Abraham prophesied, he said, your people will be in the land not they own for 400 years. We read the script. We seen the Hebrews was in Egypt for 430 years. It wasn't 400. What is he talking about? We landed on this country, so-called African Americans landed on this country in 1619. So 2019, It's up. The curse is up. It's time to get down to kingdom business, baby. And I think that's what's going on. It's prophetic. You got a group of brothers here that's willing to reach out to the people. You got a group of brothers here that's willing to confront the gnaw and the BS that's in the hood. You got a group of brothers here to change Chirac, you know, into Chicago, back to Chicago. You got brothers here that's willing to change Afghanistan back into Indianapolis and change Detroit from being a slum into being an oasis. This is what we're producing here. And with you guys' help, hey, we can manifest them things because that's the purpose, that's the vision, that's what we on. Hallelujah.
Well, we
appreciate
you, and
we
trusted you with our program, and we knew that you were the right person there to facilitate it. So we thank you for that. And, you know, all those letters you're talking about, just send them on to Rob. He reads letters to these kids all the time, and we'll definitely keep those addresses so that they can correspond if they want to correspond with you guys. I think that's awesome.
No doubt. So any last words you'd like to say, Leon, before we close out?
Okay. What I'd like to say is, hey, I think the streets don't love you back platform. Lucinda and Rob, hey, man, I love y'all and what y'all are doing. Y'all a power couple. I wish, you know, I can find a queen like that. I will one day, Rob, and that's a beautiful thing. I want to thank all my people out there, you know, all my people. You know, in the Torah it said, hey, I came to minister to those in prison. I visited them in prison. Hey, it's a lot of people in prison spiritually. Spiritually, they in prison.
Amen.
No matter where you, they in prison.
Amen.
And I came through and I ministered. Right. I ministered for you, for the people, whoever in prison, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. Man, break the chains. I'm telling you, you can do it. Also, I'm still in a fight. Truth never dies. It's only rediscovered.
Amen.
It's a real thing. We still in the courts. We fighting a good fight. Hey, they've been knocking me down, and it's been bogus, y'all. It's been bogus, but you can keep up with my case and my Free Leon Benson Facebook cause page, and you can get at me on JPay through a letter, but, hey, the movement is still on. Pray for me. My case is sitting before the judge right now, and I'm telling you it's a good case. We ain't never been fraudulent. We ain't been fake. Some of my people, they didn't really feel me until they came to court and seen it for themselves. I almost just fell to pieces. You know, I thank y'all for coming and supporting me. You know, it's been real. And we definitely got a lot of work to do. And we got a lot of work to do tomorrow and the day after that. But the work ain't bad when you doing it and you really love it. Because I ain't here to take life. I'm here to replenish it. You know? So I thank all y'all. Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Lucinda. Thank you, everybody.
You're welcome.
All right, man. Have a good one, man. And I'll keep in touch with you on the JPay. And we thank everybody for calling in with Leon. We send love to you, too, man. And we're going to keep moving forward. And just keep sending the soldiers to me. And we're going to keep sending the intervention bookers in there to you. All right, everybody. We thank Leon for coming on tonight, and we would just like to say one love. And if you would like to learn more about our organization, once again, you can go to www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.com. Have a great night, everyone.